Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. WKAR's Current Sports is now live on this Tuesday, September 17th. 2019. Before I push forward, I want to just give a huge birthday shout out to my little sister, Loriana. It is her birthday today. Big bro, loves you. I gave her that midnight call last night. I don't know why she picked up. She should be getting ready for school, but she did. but happy birthday, Lori. Love you. It's a Tuesday. And for those that tuned in to yesterday's show, you guys know we spent the entire hour breaking down and giving you our thoughts as to what led to the Michigan State football loss to Arizona State on Saturday. We covered it from every single angle. Many of you called in to vent, commented on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News as well. And it's going to take you a while to get over this one, I know, because Michigan State had this one in the bag. All right, today I am going to roll in the Mark D'Antonio Tuesday morning press conference, as we usually do on a Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports during the MSU football season, as Michigan State tries to pick itself up off of the mat and will open up Big Ten play on the road this weekend at Northwestern. And again, Mark D'Antonio, if he does get this dub, he will get number 110 in that win column record, making him the all-time winningest coach in program history, all right? But you'll get a chance to hear what Coach D has to say. And, you know, he'll touch on, you know, how he's feeling now that he's had, what, 3 days to digest that loss to ASU. He'll address some injury problems for that offensive line. He'll address the whole apology, the admittance from the Pac-12 officials who officiated that game on Saturday, and whether or not it means anything in his eyes. He'll address a few things, all right? And you'll get a chance to hear what he has to say. And on today's Current Sports, because I did my best to not give you my thoughts and to dive in to whether or not Michigan State, you know, should start thinking about maybe looking at other options head coach wise from Coach D, you know, because we debated whether or not the magic is gone from Mark D'Antonio. And I'm going to give you my thoughts on that conversation today. All right. So plenty of Michigan State football talk on today's Current Sports. We will get to your Honolulu Blue, the Detroit Lions, as they were able to stay undefeated with a win on Sunday at Ford Field, the season home opener for the Lions. Darius Big Play Slay, who was picked on throughout the entire game by Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen, he gets the last laugh, picking Rivers off in the end zone and putting the babies to bed. So what does this mean for the Lions moving forward as they now get ready to play the Philadelphia Eagles? We'll recap the Lions and Chargers matchup, and I'll touch on Lions-Eagles, and then we'll talk some Michigan football possibly to close the hour, depending on how we look one time, as Michigan has opened up as the dog against Wisconsin. All right, so a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there and comment below that video. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Folks, the Big Ten Conference announced yesterday that the Michigan State football homecoming game against Indiana, taking place on Saturday, September 28th at Spartan Stadium, will kick off at 3:30 p.m. So, homecoming game against Indiana, 3:30 p.m. on September 28th. That game can be viewed on the Big Ten Network. The Spartans will open Big Ten play, as I mentioned, a matter of minutes ago, against Northwestern. Again, that game will kick off at 12 p.m. So September 21st, 12 p.m., MSU, Northwestern. You can catch that game on ABC. And the Michigan football team, coming off a bye week, will get back to action, opening up Big Ten play against Wisconsin as the underdog at Camp Randall Stadium. The Wolverines opened as 2-point underdogs for Saturday's game at number 14 Wisconsin in Madison, and quickly became 3-point dogs, according to pregame.com. Now, Michigan has been a heavy favorite for each of its first two games, closing as a 34-point favorite against Middle Tennessee State University and a 22.5-point favorite against Army. And we all know how both of those games turned out. The Wolverines beating the Blue Raiders 40-21 and just escaped. Just got out of that game with a dub against the Black Knights in double overtime, 24-21, the final in that one. So they are dogs against Wisconsin. We'll have more on that game hopefully later on this hour. All right, the Michigan State women's golf team got its 2019-2020 season off to a strong start yesterday, as the Spartans are in second place after two rounds of the Glass City Invitational out in Toledo, Ohio. Now, the tournament, which is being played at the prestigious Inverness Club, includes eight teams that played in last year's NCAA tournament. The Spartans are 7 over par, a 583, just two shots behind tournament leader Florida. MSU is two strokes up on third place Illinois. Individually, three Spartans are in the top 10. Eureka Tanita is one of just four players in the field of 80 to be under par, as she's tied for third at 1 under par, 143. Allison Gear Park is tied for sixth place at 1 over par, 145, while Paz Marfa Sanz is 2 over par, a 146, and tied for 10th. So, pretty solid outings right now for the Michigan State women's golf team at the Glass City Invitational out in Toledo, Ohio. All right, news coming out of the Detroit Lions camp. The Lions are making a surprisingly, roster move this morning, releasing backup QB Josh Johnson and signing Jeff Driskel. So Driskel is a sixth-round pick in 2016. He started his college career at Florida before finishing out at Louisiana Tech. After being drafted by the San Francisco 49ers, he was waived that September and claimed by the Cincinnati Bengals, where he spent the past 3 years. Now, in 2018, Driscoll appeared in 9 games for the Bengals, including 5 starts. He completed 105 of his 176 pass attempts for a little over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. He also showcased his mobility, rushing for 130 yards, 2 touchdowns on 25 carries. So the Lions, being reported that they are cutting quarterback Josh Johnson and signing Jeff Driscoll. All right, Taco Charlton, he still wants out of Dallas and my Cowboys. The Cowboys' 2017 first-round draft pick. He tweeted, quote, "Free me," in response to a tweet regarding why the defensive end has been inactive the first 2 weeks of the season. The tweet has since been deleted. But Charlton, he sought a trade this offseason, which did not come to fruition. Now the former Michigan product has taken to social media to try to coax his way out of Dallas, either through trade or possible release. Now, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport and NFL Network's Jane Slater reported Sunday that my Cowboys have had a recent trade talk surrounding Charlton. While nothing is imminent, talks could heat up this week, Rappaport added at the time. So we'll see what happens throughout the week when it comes to that story. Eli Manning's run as the starting quarterback for the New York Football Giants appears to be over. After almost 15 years as rookie, Daniel Jones is now taking over beginning Sunday on the road against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The team made that announcement today. This is what head coach Pat Shurmur said in a release by the team. Quote, "Eli and I spoke this morning. I told him that we are making a change and going with Daniel as the starter. I also talked to Daniel." I hope he would. Quote, "Eli was obviously disappointed, as you would expect, but he said he would be what he has always been, a good teammate, and continue to prepare to help this team win games. Daniel understands the challenge at hand, and he will be ready to play on Sunday." So Jones was the number 6 overall pick in this year's draft coming out of Duke. That was a highly criticized pick by many. He had a strong spring and summer, though, completing 85.3% of his passes in the preseason with 2 touchdown passes and no picks. So I think this move was inevitable, and we'll see what Daniel Jones does this weekend against Tampa Bay. How about the Detroit Tigers? They got a win. Yeah. How about that? 45-104 now. That's where the Tigers' record stands after a 5-2 win against the Baltimore Orioles, and the Tigers will resume. They actually move on from that series. That was the last game of a 4-game set against the Orioles. The Orioles, they took game 1. The Tigers took game 2. Orioles took game 3, and the Tigers took game 4 yesterday, 5-2. So they split that series 2-2. The Tigers will now open up a 3-game set against the Cleveland Indians on the road. That first game taking place tonight at 7:10 p.m. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, we're talking a lot of college football on today's show, with, again, the foundation of today's show being Michigan State football, as that pretty much dominated our hour yesterday. And if you have further thoughts on what happened between Michigan State and Arizona State, you can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there and comment right below that video. And you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's keep it pushing. Ah, shout out to engineer Jack Kerwin behind the glass for that cut right there. One of the all-time greats, Marvin Gaye. What's going on? And what's going on, beautiful people? Happy Tuesday to you guys. It is, again, Tuesday, September 17th. My little sister's birthday, as I mentioned already. Yeah. Happy birthday, little sis. You better not be listening right now. You should be in school. All right? You should be in school. Learning. Learning, all right? This is actually her first year of high school, Jack. And I don't know. Do you have a little sister at all, man? Because, you know, they go through... you know, little sisters, when they hit like that teenage year, they go through like, not all, but a lot of them go through like a rebellion phase. And she is gone. She's going through that phase right now where I can't tell her anything. And it's a bit scary, but
no, getting older. Yeah, absolutely. No, I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me. And actually her, I guess, rebellious phase. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I would say was probably more in middle school, and then she really mellowed out by her sophomore year of high school, which was like really good because there were times when she was absolutely unbearable for about 2 years. But Maria, I love you so much. You know that, but you're not listening right now probably because you're also in class.
Let's hope, right? Exactly. But yeah, they always go, a lot of them go through that phase. So I'm hoping that my little sister, Loriana, mellows out in her sophomore year. But happy birthday to her. It's her day. It's her day. I'm not going to rain on her parade, all right? But happy Tuesday to you guys. Oh, boy. Yeah, yesterday's show. For those that tuned in to yesterday's current sports, you know, it was like a therapy hour. It really was. As we just vented about Michigan State football and what occurred on Saturday that led to that loss against Arizona State. It was ugly. That was a game that Michigan State should have won. And there is so much blame to go around. You can blame the coaching staff. They deserve a lot of blame. You can blame the players as well. They deserve a lot of blame. I could bring up, you know, Jaden Daniels, letting him, you know, run like Speedy Gonzalez, you know, for, you know, first down after first down in those closing moments. You know, I could bring up the penalties. I could bring up the drop passes. I could bring up, you know, Matt Coughlin, who was not great at all that night. You know, you could go on and on and on. There were a lot of things that went wrong for Michigan State as they now try to forget about what happened one Saturday, push forward. And, you know, Mark D'Antonio today, in a matter of minutes here, I'm going to roll in his Tuesday morning press conference as we customarily do here on Current Sports. But, you know, he calls this like phase three. You know, Michigan State is entering phase three of the season. And I think overall, it's four phases here. You know, you want to win that opening game, the season opener. That's you know, phase one. Phase two, gosh, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Jack. Phase two is winning the other two non-conference games.
No, I believe phase one is camp, isn't it?
Oh, is it camp? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so phase one is camp. Phase two is winning non-conference games. Phase three is winning the Big Ten, performing well in the Big Ten. And phase four is winning the bowl game. Right.
I think that's right, yeah.
Let me go
back and check this. Yeah, but I think that's right.
Yeah, you're right, because I think, yeah, that makes sense. I'm like, hold on, that wouldn't make sense if phase two is winning the other two non-conference games. But yeah, but anyway, he calls this phase three. Phase three is performing well in the Big Ten, putting yourself in position to compete for a conference championship. And I probably got phase four wrong, because maybe phase four is, okay, hopefully being in the Big Ten championship game and winning the Big Ten, and then phase, you know, the next phase is possibly winning whatever bowl game you're in. I don't know. There's a lot of phases that Coach D'Antonio has, and he calls this phase three. And in a way, you know, it feels like, all right, if you're looking at the glass half full here, you're saying to yourself, okay, at least the Arizona State loss was not a conference loss. At least you can look forward now and say, all right, we got a clean slate, relatively speaking here, because we enter Big Ten play now where we're 0-0, and our goals of playing in a Big Ten championship game are still right in front of us. This did not cripple you in that conversation, but there's no doubt about it. Michigan State has a lot of questions to answer moving forward because there were some glaring problems in that game. Now, Jack, I do want to touch on this because I didn't get a chance to yesterday amongst all of the Michigan State complaining. Have you seen the broadcast of the game yet? Because I have it. But I'm told, and Connor did relay this to me after the show, that apparently the camera caught Brian Lewerke during that moment where, Michigan State, the first field goal attempt to try and tie the game in which Matt Coughlin nailed. During that moment, Brian Lewerke was looking to the sidelines, looking to hopefully get a play call from offensive coordinator Brad Salem. And there was some confusion whether or not they were going to go for it with those 11 seconds left, which I don't know. I complained about this on yesterday's show. I still don't know why they at least didn't take a shot downfield. Trust your quarterback there. But anyway, there was some confusion there. And Brian Lewerke, was caught on camera saying, "What the bleep are we doing?
What are we doing?" Yeah. I saw that. I didn't see the game broadcast, but that's circulated on social media yesterday or Sunday. Yep.
Okay, yeah. So that is a real thing.
Yes, it is real. Yep.
Okay, I need to go back and look at that then, because if so, that's a coaching problem, and that eventually led to the 12 men on the field because there was confusion and you're trying to rush out, your field goal unit and get the offense off the field. There was just utter confusion there. Just so many things went wrong. And, right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to play for you a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say this morning at Spartan Stadium inside of the North End Zone Media Center. And we're going to talk about, the take that some people have out there that Michigan State needs to move on, that it's time. Maybe Mark D'Antonio has lost his magic, in prepping for today's show. As I'm tweeting about the Mark D'Antonio press conference, I'm getting tweets back from people saying, he's got to go. Mark D'Antonio's got to go. At the Tony Towns, Al, he's got to go. Many comments, came in on our Facebook page, and I'm getting texts and DMs after the Arizona State loss. All right. I'm going to address that. But again, as we customarily do, we roll in a bit of what Coach D'Antonio had to say during his weekly press conference. Here is Mark D'Antonio at the podium addressing the media after, of course, what happened on Saturday.
Here we go. First of all, opening game in the Big Ten, so focus is on that and not on what's occurred this last weekend. I think that's important. History has been a tight game here. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Pat Fitzgerald, not just in what he's done at Northwestern, but in his leadership and what he's been able to do across the country from a leadership standpoint and the continuity he's had at Northwestern going into his 14th year. 97 wins, I believe, and he's into his 14th year. So they've got continuity and has based a lot of their success on that as well. They are the defending West champions. So this will be a challenge for us. Offensively, when you look at them, Hunter Johnson's their quarterback. Transfer from Clemson, a younger player. Not sure whether Bowser will be playing or not. It's been out the Stanford game and missed last week, but they certainly have an opportunity. Good player, Drake Anderson, filled in, did a nice job this past week. Offensive line has three guys back. The receivers are very capable guys, big play guys, and they spread the ball around to all those guys and play all six of them. 88's probably their top guys, Skanderdek, I believe. But defensively, Gaziano, 97, big defensive end. Patty Fisher, linebacker, sort of heads those guys up. Mike Hankowitz is the defensive coordinator there and has been for a long time. And guy who had been at Purdue when I was a graduate assistant there, but a very meticulous guy. And they'll be prepared. Special teams, solid, and we'll get ready to play. So we're going to stay upbeat. We're going to stay focused on the task at hand. And I'll take some questions.
Mark, over here, sorry. I know there's been some guys banged up on the offensive line, but this week we see three of those freshmen now on the depth chart, also yeah. Jacob on there as well. Is it just kind of a matter of guys being dinged up, or are those guys making progress, or you see them working into a role where they could play a little
bit? All three of those freshmen have been working with the twos and have been up with the twos and have been exclusively working on the second unit. And what we've done is spread the other guys around on the first unit and had them playing different positions. So I think those guys are prepared. Whether they play this week or not will remain to be seen, depending on how we're playing, depending on injuries, things of that nature. But all three of those guys have been up with us really throughout the whole month of August and then in September here. So they're getting ready. You know, it's just a little bit of time on the offensive line.
Mark, along those lines with Kevin Jarvis, not on the depth chart. Is that a long-term injury, significant injury? What is the status update on that?
That'll probably be a six to seven-week injury. So I would expect maybe back by Penn State or for sure in November. So he's not a season-loss guy, but he's, you know, he's out right now. So I thought it would be, you know, pertinent not to have him on the depth chart.
Mark, your penalties from 14 to 2 and then back to 10, most penalized team in the league now. Why is that happening and how do you fix it?
Well, that's I guess you'd have to look at each penalty and try and make that assumption as to what went down on that one. But, you know, without having a list of them right in front of me, we had three, I believe, on special teams, three or four on special teams. We had two roughing the passers. We had one hands to the face, which I think is in question. On defense, on offense, I believe we had a holding call that's in question. There's some in question, but you got to just play it out. But, yeah, we got to fix that. You know, we address it every single day. We have refs out there every single day. You got to play penalty-free, put you behind the eight ball. It also takes away some of the different plays that have that occurred on that that were positive plays. So it's frustrating, yeah.
For whatever reason, they've been able to win three in a row in this series against you guys and actually score some points. I think Pat was trying to explain it at media days. There's no magic to it, but how have they been able to have the edge in the series lately and actually success?
Well, their quarterback played well in those games and execution. I would say execution. And then there's been some breakdowns. Obviously, anytime there's a play, there's a breakdown and. There's a team that executes and a team that has a breakdown, whether it's schematically or functionally or structurally or whatever it is.
Mark, to your left. Along the same lines with a true freshman, Julian Barnett, we saw him make a big play. Mm-hmm. Where is he sort of at in his progression? Is he a guy you could see being used more as we move through the year here?
Yeah, I see him being a guy that could possibly be playing more plays. He's just, you know, some of the routes and things of that nature, you know, he needs to become a little bit more maybe crisp in terms of where he's going. But I think he's extremely capable. I also think Mosley's a guy that that we'll see before the season's out as well. I think he's coming as well. Young players. Good players. Very good players.
Here again, going to Northwestern, it seems like there's nothing I've charted, but it seems like there's more Michigan State fans there than most other places you go, and you tend to have a lot of support there. What is it like going there? Does it feel like still an away game? Is it a little bit different because you usually have so much alumni there?
Yeah, you know, Chicago's a great Michigan State hub. There's a lot of Spartan fans there, and it's traditionally every time we've gone up there, it's been that whole side has been packed with Michigan State fans, and I would expect the same type of thing, and it's a fun place to play because we're up there, and you know, should be good from that perspective.
Mark, your teams have suffered difficult non-conference losses before making a run through the Big Ten. What do you see from this group, this team in this locker room that leads you to believe this is possible again?
I think we have a positive vibe in the locker room. I think we have good chemistry. I've said that over and over throughout. And when you have a situation like this, and we could be 3-0 right now, but we're not. At the end of the day, you know, you've got to regroup. You know, you can't stand there and say, and you can't have the poor me's. You can't sit there and say, oh, all is lost. Oh, my goodness, what just happened? You have to rally back. I think that's very important that you rally back in terms of what you're trying to do. This is a team game. This is a game that that mandates a lot of different things, whether it's coaching or whether it's execution or whether it's playing against guys that, you know, are equally, you know, physically gifted as you are, you know, and there's always a yin for a yang or something like that. There's always a push and a pull. It goes back and forth all the time. So you got to have respect for the people that you're playing against, and you got to be able to play past that. But the main thing that you better be able to do is you better be able to regroup when things go wrong with your program or inside or you personally. You better be able to regroup. If you can't regroup, then that's a problem.
We will regroup. I can promise you that. We will coach with energy. I can promise you that. I can promise you that we will address the issues, and we're going to continue to get better. And I think that there are a lot of good things that are happening. I think Lewerke's playing very well. When your quarterback's playing well, great things are going to happen for you. You know, so we've got some younger players playing, trying to figure out where and what to some degree. And to some degree, younger players, whether it's a redshirt freshman or a true freshman, got some guys injured up a little bit, so they'll be coming back. But you know, our focus needs to be on, okay, what do we got to do now? What's important now? And that's what we'll do.
We're kind of going back to that left tackle spot. Is there any progress with either Cole or AJ? And when you make that decision of putting Higby there over Dobbs, how much of that is based on continuity and the knowledge that Tyler has as a veteran?
Yeah, it's knowledge-based. You know, I think that it's knowledge-based and youth-based, combination of both. And I think he went in there and played pretty well from everything that was given to me and indicated to me. So he's first man up, but I would expect for Dobbs to possibly play. And, you know, he's got to get ready to play, so there'll be a little bit more sense of urgency, maybe, is what I would say. You know, when you're playing, it's different. When you get in the game, all of a sudden, everything becomes a little bit more important in practice. So, you know, we're going to push the issue there a little bit, especially on the depth chart, so that they understand that. We've not listed them on the depth chart in that capacity because we just haven't. But they've worked there as the twos, like I said, so they should be ready to go. We'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. Cole and AJ probably remain the same. They're sort of day-to-day, maybe Cole. But they're both sort of, I would just say right now they're out day-to-day. I don't think I listed them on the depth chart. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Last week you had mentioned taking your girls to a Shania Twain concert and how it was one of maybe the best concerts that you had been to. Huh. But after the after the game, I noticed that they were one of the first few people to greet you on the field after what would have been a tumultuous ending. Mm-hmm. How do they help you recenter and regroup and help you in times like that to get you back on track or help you focus?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, you better have a strong family unit, you know, if you're going to be the head coach anywhere. You know, that'll always help. And they're my biggest you know, my two girls are my biggest supporters, that and Becky, my wife. And, you know, they're going to be there in the toughest of times, just like I'm going to try and be. And they're going to stand strong in that capacity as well. And they've done a great job throughout their time, both Lauren and Kristen. And they've seen some good. They've seen some tough times. And that's the nature of it. And they need to understand that their dad's okay. Don't worry. That's my message to them all the time. So, but, yeah, you know, they were there. They always will be.
Mark, seemed like a lot more two-back sets on Saturday.
A lot what?
Two running backs,
mm-hmm.
Whether it was Connor and Ladarius or getting Max in there also. I guess how would you assess that, and how do you see that kind of evolving going forward?
You know, right now I believe Elijah got the majority of the carries, and we'll work it from there. I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, this guy's going to play or that guy's going to play. We'll watch practice. We'll try and make some decisions. I think Elijah's the lead back right now, but the other guys, they've all made a play here and there at certain points in times in their careers here. So, again, you're looking for consistency, be able to run through the smoke, run through and break tackles.
To your left. I believe you just said we will address the issues. What do you see as the issues right now, and how do you fix them?
Well, we need to be more productive. We need to score more points. I think we crossed the 57 times. We had, I think, seven. Don't quote me on the number of drives with eight-plus plays, but over four, which is always your goal. We had explosive plays, which is your goal. We only turned the ball over one time, but it was a crucial turnover. It was in question, I guess, but, you know, it is what it is. But you got to be productive. You got to make your field goals. It gives you at least nine more points. You've got to drive the ball in the red zone and push it in for touchdowns. And then on the flip side of things, you know, you got to play well on 4th and 13. Get off the field on 4th and 13. Hey, we're just talking about 10 to 7. We won a national championship winning games 10 to 9, 14 to 10, 13 to 9. So, you know, it's all grouped together. Everything's grouped together. It's not one-dimensional thing that says, oh, this is wrong completely. You know, when people have an opportunity to make a play or coach for a play, including myself, and I hold myself ultimately responsible, okay, then you got to make the play. And credit number five, he made a play. But there were some things on that particular play on 4th and 13 that could have been prevented. And, you know, but the decision was made to play that particular defense at that particular time, right, wrong, or indifferent. Same thing could be said about the field goal. Same thing could be said about whether to take a shot at the end of the game. Believe me, I'm trying to do everything I can. I'm out there with a stopwatch every single pass play yesterday, timing every single pass play. You know, but there's a lot of different things that can happen on those pass plays that would lend you to say, oh, if you got sacked or, you know, ball's caught in bounds, you know, you're not going to get another playoff. So there's a lot going on there. But you're trying to prevent the things that can be prevented. But it's all-inclusive. There is no one thing that you can say, well, that is ultimately the reason why we lost this football game. You can sit there and say we needed to score more points. That's sort of, yeah, I think that's elementary, sort of. You got to score more than they score. But you could also make the case that, you know, 4th and 13 on the 25, out of 10 times, how many are you going to stop them with our defense? You can make that case, too. So there's enough responsibility to go around, and we'll take responsibility for that, and I will take responsibility. But there's a lot of things to fix, and it's game to game. Just like there's a lot of things you can point towards and say, that was good, and that's game to game, too. But you're just trying to coach it up. But the main thing that I guess the main message that I have is we're going to coach them up, and we're going to make sure that we coach with energy this week. We're going to make sure that everybody's all in with energy, and we're going to come to play. That's the first thing we have to do.
I got two again, one at a time.
Okay.
When the Pac-12 issues a statement saying their officials erred on that last play, does that make you feel better or worse?
Well, the Pac-12 issues a statement. If they said the game gets forfeited, you know, maybe I'd feel better. Other than that, I really don't care. It's sort of after the fact. It's sort of after the fact. There's nothing I can do about that. I can't sit up here and go on and on about it, so I'm not going to. Everybody's got a job to do. I'm going to do my job the best of my ability. They need to do their job the best of their ability and call it as they see it. So they issued an apology, but that doesn't, you know, it's sort of in the wind.
I'm totally with Coach D on that. Those whole apologies just, I don't know. I don't know. It's just to make themselves feel a little bit better. I don't get that. All right, what I want to do right now, I want to hit our first break. When we come back, I'm going to give you the depth chart that was released this morning before, of course, the upcoming matchup between Michigan State and Northwestern. Got a few takeaways there, and we'll recap and expound upon a bit of what Coach D'Antonio had to say in those, you know, throughout those, what, that was like 15 minutes of this morning's press conference, all right? So that and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You just heard a bit of what Coach Mark D'Antonio, the head coach of the Michigan State football program, had to say during his Tuesday morning press conference this morning. Michigan State now trying to, you know, dust off its shoulders and get ready for Big Ten play against Northwestern on the road this Saturday. You know, while that sound was playing, Jack, you let me know that there is a certain player who tweeted something very interesting. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Real quick, though, this is what the depth chart looks like. You know, we get the depth chart every single week right before Mark D'Antonio hits the podium on Tuesday mornings at Spartan Stadium. This is what the starting lineup for the Spartan offense and defense looks like. We'll start with the offense. Cody White. Then you look at this offensive line, right, that is totally beaten up right now. You got at left tackle, Tyler Higbee. Left guard, Luke Campbell. Center, Matt Allen. Right guard, Matt Carrick. Right tackle, Jordan Reed. Then you go to the rest of the starters here. Tight end, Matt Dotson. Then you got at receiver, Daryl Stewart. C.J. Hayes, Brian Lewerke, and Elijah Collins. Now, can I pause there just for a moment? When it comes to the starting running back position, Elijah Collins, we all know he deserves to be the number one guy. You know, the debate goes up from here. For me, as I stated yesterday, I don't know if Connor Hayward should be the backup guy. For me right now, where I sit with things, I think number two should go to Ladarius Jefferson. Now, Jack, you made the case when we were chatting that maybe Anthony Williams may deserve that backup spot. But right now, as it looks right now, Elijah Collins is number one. Number two, Connor Hayward. Three, Ladarius Jefferson. Four is Anthony Williams. I'm very shocked that Connor Hayward is still the number two guy right now. So, as that soundbite was playing, you said, Al, have you seen Ladarius Jefferson's tweet? And I'm like, no, I haven't seen his tweet. So, you know, I go on his page, and you send it to me in my my Twitter DM as well. Ladarius tweeted, oh boy, where is it at? Okay, September 14th. So this is the day of the game, a little after the game at 8:30 p.m. Quote, some things aren't meant to last. And he's got the 100 red emoji there and the emoji with the guy, yeah, you know, yelling. So, curious tweet. A lot of people are reading into it. If you look at the replies to that tweet, you know, you got at PDenny34 asking, you leaving Ladarius? At TradeDog12, so what exactly does this mean, Ladarius? At Thomas A2105, blah, blah, blah. The strong stand up when facing adversity, the weak give up. And then many people saying, you know, at USA Michael MAGA says, meaning? Question mark, question mark, question mark. So there are so many replies, many people reading into this and you know, thinking that maybe Ladarius is a bit upset here. You know, because you and I, we were sitting and you were really perturbed about this, to say it kindly, Jack, when we were up in the press box watching that game on Saturday. Ladarius didn't get a lot of touches on Saturday. And it was just so curious because, you know, when Ladarius has gotten touches, you know, I think he's been rather productive. So I did not understand why he didn't get a lot of touches on Saturday. You know, if Elijah wasn't in the game, I wanted to see Ladarius Jefferson do more. So, and there are other tweets here, you know, since that tweet that he sent out. You know, he's also retweeted some things. And you, again, we're reading tea leaves here. You don't know. It's Twitter. You know, but after some things aren't meant to last, I mean, he has, you know, retweeted some former players. And, you know, he retweeted a player by the name of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Don't know who that is. But that tweet reads, daily doubts, I'ma prove everyone wrong. And then Ladarius retweets that with a comment saying, on God. Basically saying, I'm gonna prove everybody wrong, basically. So I don't know. Again, we're reading tea leaves here. But if we are reading these tea leaves, Jack, these aren't friendly leaves. If you are a Michigan State football fan, Ladarius is frustrated, and I think that he has a legit case here.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we'll see what happens moving forward if he gets more touches. I think it's warranted. I think Ladarius Jefferson gives you a better chance to win if you're Michigan State than Connor Hayward does, playing that, you know, kind of secondary role to Elijah Collins. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And if he's not satisfied at Michigan State, I'm sure he can find playing time elsewhere. So, you know, we'll see what the future holds for Ladarius Jefferson.
Yeah, we will. I just want to see him get the football more. We all know Elijah right now, he has established himself as the guy. But when Connor was in on Saturday, the offense didn't pop. It just did not pop. So a few other things of note. pertaining to the Mark D'Antonio press conference. You know, a few takeaways that I had, again, this offensive line is being put together right now with you know, spit and duct tape, it seems like. Kevin Jarvis, as you heard D'Antonio announce, left tackle, he will be out 6 to 7 weeks. It's a big loss. 6 to 7 weeks as left tackle Kevin Jarvis is out. And, you know, if you do the math there, he'll probably be, hopefully, back with this program playing in November, maybe for the Penn State game. We'll see. So, you know, Mark D'Antonio, he's trying to breathe life into his troops right now. You know, there was a lot of hope stated throughout that press conference, you know, saying that, you know, you got to be able to regroup when things go wrong. We will regroup. You know, also, real quick, to another note when it comes to the offensive line, Coach D was asked about, you know, Tyler Higbee and Cole Chewins and, you know, A.J. Okuri. D'Antonio says that, you know, he said that Tyler Higbee played well, and he says that Cole Chewins and A.J. Okuri are out and are day-to-day still. So, just not great. I mean, if you don't have an offensive line, man, it just – you know, it's a domino effect, and I'm just not confident, because I've heard many people say this, those who are thinking on the optimistic side of things. You're comparing what's happened so far with this team and the woes that we're seeing with Michigan State to what occurred in 2013. Now, there are some similarities, right? We had a lot of question marks about the offense, and, you know, the defense was playing lights out. Remember Shalique Calhoun? I remember there was one point where, like, Shalique Calhoun had, like more points than the Michigan State offense. You know, he had like a pick six and, you know, some, you know, it was amazing what that defense was doing. Just like this year, that defense is stout. But the thing is, I mean, when you compare what happened in 2013 to this team right now, that offensive line was not this beaten up. All right. And I just think there's just more question marks here, folks. So, you know, will history repeat itself? I don't know. If I'm a betting man, I would say no. And, again, it is a new season, though. You know, this is, you know, you now enter Big Ten play, and this will not be an easy matchup. It never is, especially on the road at Northwestern. And D'Antonio, he took responsibility. Him and his, you know, he's saying that him and his coaching staff could have got some things right, but also he's not letting his players off the hook, you know? They did not have, they, you know, success in the red zone. Right now, I don't know what it is, man, but Michigan State just turns into a different offense when they hit that red zone, and they just cannot score. You know, you almost hope that Michigan State can maybe score if, you know, if they're like on the 40-yard line or something like that for a big play, because once they hit the red zone, I don't know what happens, but goodness gracious, you know, and they outgained. That's what keeps getting me, man. I mean, when you look at the stats, they outgained ASU 188 yards, a 188-yard difference, and you still lost that game. Now, the question I have, the question that many of you have, well, it's not even a question for many of you. Many of you are already set in your minds and have been for at least a couple of years. Should Michigan State move on from Coach D'Antonio? Has Mark D'Antonio lost the magic? And I think there is a serious conversation that can be had that alludes to that answer being yes. I can't even hold you up. I can't sit here and tell you and be honest with myself if I was to sit here and say that, well, let's just wait and see. These last 2 years have been hard. You know, as I mentioned on yesterday's Current Sports, it's been a while now since we've seen Michigan State out in Indy competing for a Big Ten championship. It's been a while since the whole college football playoff year. It's been a while since the Rose Bowl year. It's been a struggle these past couple years and some change. It really has. And adding on to that frustration is Mark's loyalty to his coaching staff, you know, playing musical chairs and just shifting some things around. Now, I will say this. I don't think that I get it. You know, you look at what happened on Saturday and you say, my goodness, we outgained ASU by that many yards and we still can't score. But I think that Brad Salem, would you disagree with this, Jack? Brad Salem has been an improvement so far. Again, it's a small sample size here, but he's been an improvement in comparison to Dave Warner last year. Is that accurate?
Oh,
right?
It's not even close.
No,
it's absolutely right. And Rico Beard actually retweeted this earlier. So far this season through three games,
like, MSU is like in the 50s, right?
It's 57th right now. And that includes, you know, the terrible first game against Tulsa. So, I mean, from a national standpoint, MSU is moving the ball just fine. The issue is, I mean, they need to improve their... I mean, they need to look crisper as a whole, obviously. You can't be committing as many penalties as they did in Game 3 and in Game 1. They need to improve their red zone offense. But absolutely, the spread concepts are much more effective for Michigan State this year than anything Dave Warner ran in his tenure as offensive coordinator.
It's been an improvement. But at the end of the day, it what matters to everybody is wins and losses and production. And... this is the thing that you know, when having this conversation, I say to myself, and it's you know, people are so quick to jump to, okay, yeah, it's time for Mark D'Antonio to go and all this jazz. Who are you going to replace him with? That's also the question I have. You know, names have been thrown out. You know, I've heard Dino Babers. A lot of you bring up his name, Syracuse head coach, who's doing a pretty good job out there at Syracuse. I've heard Luke Fickell as well, you know, head coach for the University of Cincinnati. You know, would he want to come to East Lansing? I've even heard people bring up PJ Fleck, former Western Michigan.
No, that's not happening.
People have hit me up about that, Jack, saying, oh, PJ Fleck, what if he comes? Do you think PJ Fleck will come to Michigan State?
No, because a couple of years ago, I thought it would have been possible when he left Western Michigan. If the MSU job at that time would have been available, that was right after the 3-9 debacle for Michigan State. Mm-hmm. If MSU would have fired D'Antonio that season, yeah, I think there's a very good chance PJ Fleck would have taken the Michigan State job over the Minnesota job. But no, I don't think PJ Fleck would have any interest in taking this job. And I also don't think as a fan base, MSU fans should want PJ Fleck.
There is one aspect to that I was talking to my cousin about this last night, and I totally forgot about this. And it's already out there now, so I'm not breaking any news and saying this, but PJ is going through a divorce and a custody battle with his kids, and they, I believe, still live in Michigan. So if he wanted to come to Michigan and, you know, be closer to his kids, that may be enticing, but I don't know. For me, I just look at the landscape right now of availability and coaches out there. I don't know if, you know, you were to go with, you know, Babers or Fickell. Fickell's a great coaching prospect, but I just don't know if there are a lot of prospects out there that will be an upgrade. I don't know. And it's a risk because right now, Coach D'Antonio, I get it. It's frustrating. You want more wins, and with great expectation, well, with great success, excuse me, breeds great expectation. And, you know, with what Michigan State has been able to do over the years under Coach D, you want him to take that next step and consistently get to Indy, compete for Big Ten titles, and he hasn't done that these last few years. And it's frustrating, you guys. But there's a big risk if you decide to move on from Coach D and go with another head coach, because it could be a step back. And sometimes the grass isn't always greener. All right, that's all I'm going to say there. So I'm not willing to pull that trigger just yet. I'm not going there just yet. We've got Tom from Grand Rapids on line one. Tom, you are on Current Sports. Welcome, my man.
Hey Al, what's going on?
Nothing much. Happy Tuesday to your brother.
Thank you, man. All right, so here's my deal. I'm not ready to pull the trigger on him, but he needs some guidance, some help. He's got to have somebody who he confides in, who talks to him, a mentor. This offense, which has been clear as the nose on your face, has had to change for years, and he just can't do it. He's a big boy. He gets paid a lot of money. I was okay with him making the decision to shuffle people around because that was his gig. He knows it better than me. But he's three games deep now. aberration with Western Michigan, I guess it's fair to say. It's not happening. Someone needs to tell him, if he's not going to just do it on his own, he's got to get some help. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Bring somebody in. There's a mind out there that can gear an offense to the players we have. I hear you with all the O-line talk. I know there's been injuries. But, you know, I watch offense after offense come into our stadium, just give up running and dinky-dunk it all over the place with some level of success.
I guess
I'm just a fan of you got who you got for players, make something that works for them. I don't know how easier I can say it.
Preach on, Tom. Tom, thank you for the call. Thank you, man.
All right, man.
And Tom's got great points there, because this is the thing. If Coach D'Antonio, if he was just willing, you just say what if to yourself. If he was just willing to just let some guys go and see what happens, then I think the perception would shift a bit. I mean, heck, even Jim Harbaugh, with all of the non-success they had out in Ann Arbor, you know, he was willing to, you know, to go with Josh Gattis and try some different things because he didn't like what his offense looked like. You know, I get it. You know, that loyalty thing just coming back.
All right, but that's the other side of the coin, though, because Michigan's had four offensive coordinators in 5 years. That's not what you want either.
That's not what you want either. But at least if you see something broke, try and fix it. Go with somebody different, you know, Jack? And to close out, we got a minute left. A quick call from Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up?
What happened Saturday? My goodness, I couldn't believe you. I turned it on in the last few seconds. You made a field goal, and they overturned it, and I just don't understand how come your offense can't. I mean, you ain't gonna be able to beat the Bullies with any more offense than that.
Right, you're right, Ray. Absolutely right. I don't know what's gonna happen against
the quarterback or the wide receivers, the blocking or what.
Right now, as we've been breaking down these last 2 days, it starts with the offensive line with those offensive woes. And again, Michigan State, again, they had a lot of yardage. I went over 400 yards, right, on Saturday, Jack, but.
Just
over 400 yards of offense, but they could not score in the red zone, Ray. So, but Ray, call back tomorrow. We got 20 seconds left. Please call back tomorrow, man.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
And we'll get you on. But yeah, they're in an interesting spot right now. They really are. Folks, we'll continue this conversation tomorrow, and hopefully we'll talk some Lions on tomorrow's show as well. Be easy, people.